very often to introduce Bill Malmsted. So anybody here that doesn't know Bill, I want to take the opportunity to maybe just tell you, we got in about 11 o'clock last night. I figured we were running on fumes. It was actually 2 o'clock, our body time, so I had planned ahead to ask Bill to share today. A couple of things you don't know about Bill probably is that he is the sixth of 8 children. Raise your hand if you didn't know that. Okay, people didn't know that. He is a triplet. How many didn't know that? He's a triplet, okay? He was born in Mason City, Iowa. How many didn't know that and lived there, grew up there? Dudley and I had the privilege of meeting he and Shay when they weren't married. They were just a young couple. He was 21 years old. Shay had hair down to her waist and kind of a granny dress. It was the 60s or 70s, actually. But they came to a Bible study that we had at our home, and we just connected. When you connect with someone in the Lord, here's how it happened. They lived about 20 miles from us. And I guess you'd say you meet somebody here at church that lives up in Anaheim, and you just want to get in the car and go be with them. And that's what we did. We became fast friends. They got married, and so I met them when they weren't married. You had no children, and you had no grandchildren. And they met us. We had no children and no grandchildren. And we've been able to experience the journey together. It's been a good journey, wouldn't you say? And it continues on. But one thing about Bill, the highest compliment I could give him is that he's a servant. He that's greatest among you, let him be your servant. Bill Malmsted has never sought or even desired to be in the spotlight. Can I see all the me monsters out there that need a lot of attention in order to feel good about yourself? Come on, raise your hands. Where are you? You know, you want to be in the spotlight because that's where it's at. He's always been willing to not be there. And then out of that, God has brought him to the place where he's been a faithful elder of our church. He wasn't sure about being an elder. So he went away for 3 days and prayed. We talked about it. He wasn't sure he was called to it. He wasn't just trying to get the title, I'm an elder in a church, because I deserve it, because I've been in the church so long. He sought God, and I really believe God meant him. To Bill, ministry is consistency, friendship, and encouragement, all based in Christ. So Bill, you're a true friend, not just to me and to Shay, but to all of us, and really love you. So come up and share your heart.
We're dismissed. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your presence this morning, for your loving kindness, for your Holy Spirit touching our hearts and minds today. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would share words that I don't say and thoughts that I don't represent and feelings beyond the natural, that you would pour into our hearts who you are and what you require of each one of us today in a personal way, in a loving way, only as a Father can. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you, Kevin. That was a little too much to take in, but I appreciate your very kind words. The history of being together this long is meant the world to us, and it's saved our lives and our marriage, to say the least. I think we've already had church in a way, because what Kevin shared this morning, every word rang in my ears, because all I could hear was seeking God and prayer, and that's all I could think about since Kevin asked me if I'd share upon their coming back into town. And there's more to say than what I can say and what I want to say. I've only got half an hour. No, I've got 2 hours. No? Okay. I've got a couple minutes to share, and I've got more to share. And I want to base it on Scripture. Peter, could you bring up Philippians 1:3? And I want to just, it's part of who we are as a community, and you'll understand as I just share briefly. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, and always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. That was the start of a letter. That was the foundation of Paul's letter to the Philippians. Can you go to Colossians 1:3? You're going to see something familiar there also, how as he writes to these people, to this other church. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Can you go to 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2 and 3? Again, it's going to be familiar and similar as these other introductions are. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers. Now, there's something about prayer, and I think it's been a theme that I've been hearing in our gathering together for years, but in specific, about the last 6 to 9 months. Kevin's taught on shared on prayer several times. Mike shared on prayer in a way when he brought up the thought, am I to ask God why or what? Don't ask him why. Just what am I supposed to do with what you've given me or where I'm at or what you're doing? Show me your face. Let me hear your voice. Direct my path. Mike shared along those lines. Recently, Father's Day, Matt shared about the relationship between the Father and the Son and how the Father sent the Son so that the Son could in turn represent the Father and show him to those around him who he is. That's based on creating and making a relationship. And that's basically what prayer is all about. It's a relationship. It's a conversation that's ongoing. And to be honest, I often feel like, I don't pray enough. I should pray more. I should get up earlier. I should stay up later. I should do this. But Scripture says for us to continue in prayer always, constantly. And how do we do that? I think it's by following his word, his direction, his path, and having an ongoing communication. I know we all do this, but I've got a religious thought that I have to be on my knees in a quiet place having this conversation. But I found out that more often in my life, it's in the middle of my day, in a fun time and sometimes a difficult time, I'm having this ongoing conversation. God, help me. Have mercy on me. What do we do now? I can't believe you did this. Look at the sky. I see the sunrise every morning. It's majestic. And you just spoke it. There's all these kind of conversations. So prayer, I've had to get my mind changed from a religious act to an attitude of conversation and worship. That's pretty much what it comes down to. A disclaimer I have, everything I'm sharing is not mine, it was given to me. So there's nothing original coming out of me. So anything and everything you hear is from the Word of God, from Kevin, from Mike, from Matt, from Cooper, from Max, from Suze, from Bo, from the Lazeskis, from Pat, from different ones who have shared life. So what I'm representing today is a collective word that's talking about a relationship with our Father that surpasses any relationship and anything that you could ever have in your life. In Luke 18, if you could bring that up, Peter, 18:1, and this is very familiar to us about the judge and the widow arbitrating over getting some attention and getting some help. It reads like this. Now, he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while. What is for a while? How long is that? A week? A month? 6 months? I don't know how long that is. For a while, he was unwilling. But afterward, how long is afterward? After a week? After 6 months? After a year? How long did she press this judge to be heard and to give him protection from her opponent? I don't know. I don't know what that is. I don't know the length of that. But I know this, that God's delay is not his denial. There's things we've fought for, asked for, prayed for, gone to the mat over, and yet we haven't seen the results yet. But that doesn't mean that God is not hearing us. It doesn't mean that he's not going to act. In the process of depending upon him, he molds our heart and changes our perspective to a place of trust in that relationship. Even though we're hurting and we keep crying out and we keep looking for his way, not a way out. Time. It just takes time. Prayer to me is more an attitude and a posture of heart than an action. Prayer, I would have to say, if this is all I could say today, this would be it. Prayer is the number one reason this group of people, you, have become a united community representing Christ. It's all because of prayer. It's all surrounded by prayer. We prayed this morning, as we often do. That's what has made this community a community based on prayer. There's nothing in the world that's not worth praying over. I learned that early on in our walk and took a while to understand that. We'd be with Kevin, there'd be an issue, let's pray. Well, I'd rather fix it myself. No, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's get God involved. He's the one. Let's pray about it. Let's turn to him. And that makes all the difference in the world every single time. There is nothing, nothing that's not worth praying about. There was a family we knew years ago. I think it was their dog was injured. A coyote tried to drag him over the fence, and they scared the coyote off, and the dog dropped, and he was injured. And I can't remember, Cindy, if that was on the prayer chain or not. It was a while ago. But we were praying for a dog. I thought, oh, come on. Really? But honestly, I mean, close to home, they're our family, they're friends, they're invested, they're part, they've stood with us. Let's just pray for the dog. God knows. I think he cares. I know he cares for those people. He probably cares for their dog too. Who do I know? Let's pray anyway. And there's nothing that's not worth praying about. Praying together invites the very presence of God. And we witnessed that this morning. Even before we prayed, I think we were aware of God's presence. Just joining together, sharing, worshiping, singing out to the Lord, just pouring it out. There are several reasons that I want to share with you why prayer brings the presence of God. And it's not a method. First of all, people humble themselves. You have to humble yourselves to prayer. It isn't something that is natural in a way. You have to say, okay, I'm failing at this. It doesn't look too good. The results aren't what I expected. Lord, I really need help. People share their burdens for others. They pray for extended family and different ones at work and elsewhere. There's a compassion for somebody else. It's not just about me. People develop hearts of compassion. I think the richest times, some of the richest times that I've encountered is right here in this room when we get together and pray, and over the years with different people. And maybe I'm a weasel, but I love to hear others pray. because it discloses to me their heart and their relationship with the Lord. And it's not a test. I just kind of relish in that relationship they have. Erica, you prayed last week and closed the meeting, and that wasn't just a get-it-done benediction, let's go have donuts. That was a real heartfelt prayer. And I love that. When we gather together and you hear someone pray, they're pouring out their heart. They're not trying to impress anybody. This is personal. This is intimate. This is crying out. It's incredible. People have open hearts asking for help. You have to open your heart in prayer, especially in a group. Sometimes it's difficult because some things are intimate and private, and it's how do you can't back up and tell the whole story. But God already knows, and I think he understands. And if you do the Reader's Digest version, I think he understands where your heart's at. So it's not volume, it's not verbiage, it's not length. I mean, in prayer, scripture is full of prayer. Full of prayer. If you want to go to a training session in prayer, just look up pray, read the word, and you'll see over and over again, he prayed, she prayed. When Hannah went, because she was all troubled about not having a child, and she's at the temple and the priest is watching her and thinks she's goofed up and what's wrong, and she says, well, I don't have a child, and my husband's other wife does, and I'm getting tormented and troubled. And if you look at his prayer, it was one sentence, like, go home and get pregnant and we'll see you next year. That was about it. So it's not volume, verbiage, or length. It's posture of heart. Gratefulness among difficulty means a lot. Being grateful in a difficult situation kind of invites you into the presence of God and gives you a place in his court to say, I'm willing to hear you. State your case. What can I do? How can I help you? What do you want? Trusting beyond the circumstances. Haven't seen him change in 5 years or the last 10 or 15. Haven't seen a lot of change, but I'm hoping and trusting. Going the distance. Being honest while it's hurting. That's hard. To share your weakest point within your life, your family. It's kind of being vulnerable. It kind of hurts. I want to put my best foot forward. I don't want you to know how messed up I am. But the reality is I kind of need your help. Would you pray with me, for me, on how I pray for whatever the situation might be? Surrendering to God, not manipulating, not tweaking it, not doing the 30-day test. You know, I'm up at 6, 30 days in a row. God's got to answer. I'm going to fast, and that means he has to show up. That's kind of the wrong attitude. And I've had those. I'm speaking from experience. I've done it. I've tried it. It didn't work so well. Intentional, not methodical. There's an intention to your prayer. From the heart, not the head. It's easy to just snap one out there. But when somebody's praying for you, especially when we gather together, and somebody prays from the heart, that's gold. I mean, that is, you can't buy that. You can't find that, no matter where you go. And it's part of God's spirit and community. And like I say, that's what makes this community. The foundation is prayer. And out of that prayer, there's become friendships, growing relationships, working through difficulties, confrontation, awkwardness. How do we do this? How does that work? And nobody's taken their ball and gone home. It's been constantly coming back to the point of there's prayer and there's trust and there's confidence. Hoping for the unseen. It's amazing to me that what's more important is what I can't see. I rely on that more than anything else. The unseen is more tangible than our physical world and what we operate in. The unseen is ongoing, and he is the unseen. But he reveals himself every single time. I mean, every single time. You can bank on this 100%. You turn your heart toward God whether you've been mad, upset, or distant, or reluctant, the minute you turn towards Him, you have His attention and He's willing to hear. He wants to engage us. He's not playing hide and seek. We are, oftentimes. We're dodging with our fig leaves and trying to skirt the issue. But He's there 100% of the time. You soften your heart, humble yourself, and you've got an audience with the Creator of the universe. Confident of the Father's love, as we sang this morning, what a good Father. What an incredible Father. I am so confident of His love, I can enter His court. I can get in His presence. I can share the worst of the worst, though He already knows it. I need to verbalize that between me and Him. You know, and I know, need a little grace, need a little forgiveness, need a little help here. Please, Father. Convinced that He hears and knows throughout Scripture, He hears our prayers. He continues extending grace and love in spite of how we goof up. He forgives, forgets, and moves forward. He does that on our behalf. The sins that we share are gone. They're history. It's over. He's not going to remind us of, Bill, we've talked about this before. Like, remember last year when? He doesn't do that. I'm good at doing that, of reminding people of their shortcomings. Sometimes, Shay. Don't answer. Anyway, Scripture is full of prayer. I had to back up here and read something. This was back in December at the end of last year, but it applies for today as well as it did then. Looking back over this year's or last year's milestone people and events, each one of us could earmark significant times that have hurt, compelled, demanded, expected, required more than we thought we had to give. We would dare to say it has been the difficult times and difficult people that have provided us the greatest opportunity to grow. Limitations bring grace. Grace begets love, and love never quits. Limitations bring grace. Grace begets love, and love never quits. If there's one thing I've been lovingly trained and encouraged by Kevin is don't ever settle for less. Why stop now? Why quit? Are you kidding me? That's small. God has more in mind for each one of us, a bigger look at life than just being a dad or just being a father or just being a provider or just being a leader or just being a servant. He wants more than that. That's Christianity 101. That's where we're supposed to start. And I started way back behind that and had to pick up each one of those, and I'm still working on every one of those issues. But He's got so much more invested in us to push us beyond these walls in this community to touch the world. I mean, we know it, and we can testify to it, that out of this church, out of you people, prayers have gone. It hasn't been just for this group, this city, this state, this nation. It's gone across the world, across the globe. It's touched different people's lives. We've sent out so many missionaries. I mean, I wish I had the list. Next time I get up here, I'm going to get the list out and just prove it to you who has come through these doors and these ranks and have been blessed and sent out and commissioned to go represent God all over the place based on prayer, totally based on prayer. You'll be amazed. I'm going to get the list together with your help, Kevin. I think, different people I know have a life verse. Have you ever heard of that? Life verse? Robert Grant, who was just here recently, who's Kevin's pastor, You don't want to know what his life verse is? Acts 2:42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That's key. That's foundational. That's been his focus for his life, where you capture and arrest your thoughts and focus on God's word and what he said. And at the direst of times, you grab a hold of that verse. If you've got nothing else to grab a hold of, you have a life verse that has directed your path. And I think it's good for all of us, and we probably already do, have a life verse or something that when all is said and done, you know that that's going to guide you and direct you down the path. Do you know what Kevin's life verse is? No? No. Huh? Yep. Boom. Okay. Okay, before Pat shares that, can someone turn on the air? Because I'm wilting if nobody else is. Okay, Matthew 6:33. Points in your personal file upstairs, mister. That's great. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When you back up, and I've done that, what things are is he talking about? You have to back up several chapters and read to get up to Matthew 6:33. And then it'll disclose seeking first his kingdom is what counts. Romans 8:26 and 27 says, we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. There's times, and we all are familiar with this, where we moan and we groan. For those who've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and have a prayer language, there's an expression there in crying out to God what my spirit feels that I can't articulate. And that happens in worship a lot of times, in expressing to God, I've run out of words. I've run out of adjectives. I don't know what more to say. I'm moaning, I'm groaning, I'm expressing something deep in my heart because he resides there. Another thing about this church, we have a prayer chain that Cindy Williams administrates. I suppose other churches do too, but it's kind of key. It's kind of foundational. It isn't gossip. It is concern and compassion. When somebody's hurting or somebody's family's hurting, how many people, you know, let's just throw out Cade. Let's throw out Reese Imhoff. Let's throw out Dave and Renee Martin. Let's throw out Boogie. How many times have we gone to the mat, and not just in this room, but apart from this room, where people will get the word, we need prayer, and will stop what they're doing. And again, it's not volume, it's not verbiage, it's not length of prayer. It's stopping, Lord, minister to this family. Help them right now. You know, whatever the case may be. That's part of our spiritual DNA. That's what makes us who we are. We're not different than a lot of other folks, but we're special because this room, this place, has been a continual altar of prayer where we've all turned together to surrender and cry out to him. Throughout our regular day, flying, riding a bike, teaching, policing, construction working, whatever, sales, take every opportunity to recognize and invite the Holy Spirit into your sphere of responsibility to carry out what the Lord has called you to do. So that's how we pray continually. Right where we're at, what we're doing, teaching, you don't have to excuse yourself from the room. You don't have to step out. I mean, there are times, and there's a number of scriptures that we don't have time. Well, wait a minute. We've got time. I got an hour and a half left. No, there's a number of scriptures where Christ, he got up early, and he went to the mountain. He went to a secluded place. He went to a lonely place. He set himself apart. He created time to be with the Father. Sometimes that's where I get it mixed up. But that's for all of us, to find a place where you can have that conversation. He prayed, if you look through Scripture, a lot of times alone, by himself. It was a private conversation, but then there's other places where he shared with the disciples right there, right next to him. He's praying to the Father, and that's what brought forth the, hey, would you mind teaching us to do what you were doing? They saw him. They heard him. He prayed out Lazarus. He prayed vocally, loud, in front of people he didn't know. So there's vocal prayer, there's public prayer, there's private prayer. There's all sorts of prayer. It's all throughout Scripture. We've prayed in this room for health, for housing, for occupations, for relationships, for prayer languages, for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, for provision, direction, clarity, patience, unity, reconciliation. We've prayed for all of this, and we continue to do so. And if anybody knew how to pray, it was Jesus. When you look at his life, and this is the last thing I'll close with this. Jesus pulled several all-nighters. Have you ever done an all-nighter? Ever pulled an all-nighter? I mean, praying. I've pulled it partying. I've gone all night. I've done the all-night thing. I've done it partying. I've done it studying. I've never done it in prayer. Jesus did. He pulled an all-nighter, and he did it the very worst day of his life, dreaded what was coming the next day when he had to say, your will, not my will. He pulled an all-nighter doing that. He was betrayed by his friends. Would that make you pray or make you fight? He was disowned by his family. They didn't follow after what he was doing. He was living based solely on his Father's provision. He didn't have it coming in from someplace else. When he gave up the carpentry business, it was him and the Father. The Father had to provide everything. That would cause you to pray. He faced hunger. It's in Scripture. He faced sorrow. It's in Scripture. You can read it. He faced loneliness. He faced the culture. He lost his dad somewhere along the line. He was misunderstood quite often. He was tempted at his weakest hour. That would cause you to pray, and he did. And then one of his favorite, most outspoken disciples tried to get him to bail out. That would cause you to pray. Here's your best friend, Peter, saying, don't bother with that, Jesus. There's a better way. I got a shortcut. I got a quicker way. We can get this done. So it's all in Scripture. It's an open book test that we're living. All the answers are in there. There's no reason any of us should fail the test. And when we don't have the answer, we can usually find the answer. And when you can't find it, you can pray and you'll get the answer. You'll get the direction. Let's pray. Lord God, we can't say enough how you've joined our hearts together based on weakness, hurt, compassion, rejection, failure, difficulty, health, lack of health, issues. Lord, there's so much, and you've molded us and made a family out of us just because you wanted to, just because you love us, just because you chose each one of us to be here, to represent you, to share the good news with others. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you continue to teach us how to pray. Lord, teach us how to pray. In your name we pray. Amen.